good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord, just to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you had the chance to join us last time, you know that we're starting a brand new series. Typically, they're a month long. This will get closer to 2 months because it's a fascinating portrait of God all over the scriptures that we tend to miss. What is that portrait? Well, He is our family pastor. Yes, you heard that right. The Lord is our family pastor with a heart for children, parents, and all kinds of families. And so we started last week and just got to one out of the 20 takeaways or highlights that the Lord's put on my heart. And that's why it's going to take a couple of months or so, because there's so many and I don't want to race through them at all. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to go to Matthew chapter 18 as we'll continue our journey today in this second of maybe eight or so broadcasts on this theme of how the Lord is our family pastor. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. Just get to the landing page. You'll see several boxes with things like printed guides or articles or videos, which are three-minute videos of portraits of God, or broadcasts. And that's the one you want to click on. And then the next page, you just click on portraits of God, and you'll have a list of the most recent broadcasts, 27 minutes long, so you can catch up or listen to again if you'd like to do that. So that's at markpg.org, and all of those tools are there for one purpose: to help you hear God. So, as is our custom, let's go before the Lord, because we do want to hear God today as we sit at His feet. Well, Lord, thank You so much for the privilege of coming into Your very presence, Lord. We do get to sit at Your feet. We do get to gaze in Your eyes and listen for You to speak to us heart to heart. And Lord, discovering that You are our family pastor and that You have a heart for children and parents and all kinds of families, well, that is so encouraging to us, because that means that nobody needs to be left out. So thank You for this journey that we're taking together. Open our eyes, open our hearts. May we receive the deep truths that You show us in Your love letters. And in this case, as we're taking a journey to discover how You are our family pastor. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, just to kind of set the table by looking at where we've been, number one, which we covered the whole time last time, is that the Lord, our family pastor, yearns for us to know, number one, families are amazingly varied. And we went throughout the scriptures seeing all types of families there. We talked about how, well, you have Jesus Himself who had stepbrothers or half-brothers because they didn't share the same father. So that's not the traditional bloodline father, bloodline mother, and all bloodline children. That's just one kind of family. Jesus wasn't even in that traditional type. He was in a mixed one. We talked about Esther and how her uncle Mordecai raised her as his daughter while they were in exile. It was the only family there, but that was a family. Talked about Ruth and how her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her sister-in-law were living together as a family when all of their husbands had died. And then when Naomi decided to go back to her homeland, she took her one daughter-in-law with her because Ruth didn't want to leave her. So now you had a two-woman kind of family that were in-laws, but it was a family. And we went on and on. There's 20-something different kinds of families that are in Scripture, and God loves every one of them. Well, now we come to number two, where the Lord, our family pastor, yearns for you to know that children are a top priority, like Jesus. Jesus treated them like a top priority. Let me take you over to Matthew chapter 18, and let's just kind of walk through that together, and you'll get a quick glimpse of how Jesus is indeed sending a cue to everyone around him. Hey, children are not to be ignored. They're not to be rejected. They're not to be neglected. They're a top priority. Listen to this. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Wow. Did you catch that? Two big themes here. He wanted the disciples to see that even as adults, we're to become childlike. Now, not childish, but childlike, trusting, easily trusting the one who watches over them, the one who loves on them. And of course, that would be Jesus. That would be parents. Become childlike. And that's what it takes to really go deep into the Christian life, to learn to trust the Lord as a little child. But the other thing that he says, more germane to our topic today, is when he says that whoever receives one such child, an actual child in my name, receives me. Children are a top priority like Jesus. Wow. I just love that. Totally love that. I just love how the Lord is making it so clear that children need to be constantly on our radar, constantly in our hearts. Matthew 19, 13 through 15 gives us another story that's similar, but there's some other nuances in here I want you to see as well. I love this. Matthew 19, beginning verse 13. "Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' And after laying his hands on them," who? The children. "After laying his hands on them, he departed from there." Well, there's several things I want to say about all this that I think will help us just to get a feel and also get some practical ways that we can do what Jesus did, and that is treat children like a top priority. First of all, let me just kind of walk with you through some of the reasons. Other than the obvious, Jesus said so, let them come to me, give them attention as they come to me, as you treat them, just like you're treating me. I mean, that's can't get any higher than that, right? But there's five things, real practical things that have come out over the years, especially through something called the 414 movement. Now, you may not know what that is, but the 414 movement and the 414 strategy and the 414 window refers simply to this. The 414 window is people ages 4 to 14. And back in 2004, Jack Agar, who's a very good friend of mine that I got to know 20 years ago while he was president of Awana, they had a conference in 2004, and 52 other ministry organizations were represented, and they talked about the 414 window, which is playing off the 440 window, a missiological reference and term for a geographical region of the world that really needs to be reached. That was the 1040 window. Well, playing off of that, the 414 window is people at the ages of 4 to 14. And I use the word people because children, kids, can sometimes be relegated to secondary importance in our church ministries, in our parachurch ministries, even in our families. Oh, they're just kids. Hey, they are people. They just happen to be young. And in this case, 4 to 14. Why 4 to 14? Well, it's because most people come to Christ between the ages of 4 to 14. Studies have shown that somewhere in the 80th percentile, that is where the ages 4 to 14 land when it comes to the age of people coming to Christ. And so the 414 strategy was being talked about back in 2004 with this Awana conference and 52 other ministries saying, you know what, focusing mission efforts on the 414 window when most come to Christ in salvation becomes a natural bridge of the gospel to parents and the entire families, and they can be discipled to be on mission, grow churches, and honor God. The 414 strategy is simply focusing on the ripest fields for harvest, the most promising tilled ground, fertile ground for the seeds of the gospel. Because most people come to Christ at that age, that's the best investment, you know, to do it. So one of the top five reasons to reach God's children is that they're better investments. Scripture in John 4, 34 through 36, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look to the fields. They're white for harvest." Children are white for harvest. They have very moldable and guidable hearts. They're open to the gospel. It's fertile soil for the seed of the gospel. It's a better investment. It's better putting budget money and time and resources into reaching children is reaching for the whitest field for harvest. And as I mentioned a moment ago, number two, they're natural bridges. They have a way of drawing in parents. You know, when we used to have our VBSs, and we had great VBSs when I was at the local church level, and we'd have our end of VBS presentation, oh, the number of parents and aunts and uncles that would come. And sometimes we had children's dramas or children's choir presentations. If you want to draw a lot of adult unsaved people, just put their children on stage and they'll come, and then you can build relationships. And this is how kids can be a natural bridge of drawing in parents. Third, another reason why kids are a priority in gospel and evangelism strategies that they're is because of their fruitful tomorrows. They're better investments, they're natural bridges, they're fruitful tomorrows. Kids will impact tomorrow for Christ. And it's related to the fourth, they're the future leaders of tomorrow. We need to treat them as the future leaders of tomorrow. You know, if we settle in church and at home for just basically babysitting them or letting the TV or their iPads or something just, you know, keep them out of our hair instead of training them as the leaders of tomorrow, investing in them and spending time in substantive conversation with them, we're missing the boat. They're the future leaders. Even Hitler knew that, and he had youth programs in order to indoctrinate them in Nazism. Stalin knew that, to indoctrinate children into communism. Even North Korea, they take the children and they indoctrinate them from the very beginning. Now, those three examples are negative examples, and we hear the word indoctrinate negatively. We tend to react that way because that's the context in which we usually hear the word. But let me just break that down for a moment. Doctrine just means teaching. So indoctrinate is just teaching them and teaching them early. Why? Because that's when they're most moldable, when they're young, and that's why they were doing it, except they wanted to put in false philosophies and harsh philosophies. We want to put in the truths of God, the reality that the Lord is our family pastor with a heart for children and for those parents and all kinds of families to draw them unto himself. Because they are the fruitful tomorrows and the future leaders for tomorrow, investing them today is an incredibly important reason to focus on children as a top priority. Finally, we have these five reasons to reach God's children: better investment, natural bridges, fruitful tomorrows, future leaders. It's merciful rescues. My friend, do you realize there are 150 million orphans in this world? No mother, no father. We need to reach them. We need to take care of them. We need to lay hands on them, love on them. bring them to the Lord, feed them, whatever they need. There are 140 million homeless children. We talked about 150 million orphans, now another 140 million homeless children that need foster parents, they need care, they need a place to go. There are 2 million children that are trafficked every year, and this just breaks my heart. In one of our churches, they had made a trip to India, some of the leaders, and they discovered how rampant the problem of children being trafficked was. And they even came across situations, 16 children under the age of 10 were being trafficked, but they could be purchased. And so they raised up the money to purchase these girls, and they did, but not to go and use them, but rather to go and rescue them and train them and protect them and bring them to the Lord and nurture them. Rescuing children. The 414 movement that I talked about a moment ago that began back in 2004, began to expand in 2009 with Weiss Bush and the Transform World. And of course, he is a big figure in mission circles for the last several decades, spawning several movements with his efforts as a catalyst and a consultant to encourage people and point them up way up to the Lord. And his Transform World movement embraced the 414 strategy as well, and it became a marvelous second wave of this emphasis to focus on the 414 generation. Now, Jack Egar is no longer with Awana, but he started a new ministry called Global Children's Network. He asked me to be on his board, by the way, and I'm honored to serve there. And that started about 5 years ago, and it's already in over 50 countries with this heart to focus on the 414 generation, make them a priority, because Jesus talked about them in references as being a priority. So how are you doing it at home? How are you doing at church in making them a top priority and not just kind of relegating them to secondary importance? Well, let me just give you some, I'm going to give you 8 great touch points to reach God's children in your local church. Now, I know they're not, you can't do all 8 of these at one time, certainly. That's just way too much. But they're different ideas and different things, and many of which you may already be doing. But I just want to walk through them with you, because I want you to have some boots on the ground examples of things that you can do and organize and recruit for and have parents participate in, and children and teens all in. So let me give you these 8 great touch point to reach the 414 generation, to reach God's children, to have a heart of compassion and kindness for them like Jesus does and told his disciples, let them come, they're important. All right, so here's 1, supernatural prayer. My friends, everything starts with supernatural prayer if you want to have a huge impact. The invisible forces of this world, the supernatural forces of this world, are mobilized when we get serious about prayer. I hope you cultivate that. And I hope you do pray for children and families. I hope you have a yearning for them to be treated well, to be treated as a priority, to be trained, mentored, coached, protected, all of these things. But it starts with supernatural prayer, because if you haven't already discovered this, whoever you pray for, whatever you pray for most regularly and passionately, the Lord actually changes and morphs your heart to be able to be a part of the blessing in their lives. And let them be a blessing in your life. Supernatural prayer is where it starts. Now, 2, here's the second touch point.
Excuse me.
Wow, got caught off guard there. Sorry about that. Pastor's children sermon. Oh, I remember back when I was a lead pastor. We did a church plant back in 1990. I had the privilege of serving there for 24 years, grew it up, built buildings, that type of thing and stuff, and had a wonderful time building family ministry and outreach ministries and kids ministries, all that other stuff. And early on, I began sharing a pastor's sermon every Sunday. And the way we did it is that we encouraged all the parents to let their children come into the worship service at the beginning to sing the music with them, to worship side by side, listen to a few announcements. And then when we'd have the greeting time for the visitors, I would say something like, now while everyone is standing and greeting each other in the name of the Lord, let the children come up for their pastor story time. And everybody stood up. And those kids, after a while, they began to know that their time was coming. They run up there and come and sit at my feet up on stage so I could tell them a pastor story. In fact, parents were telling me that as we got close to that visitation time, they knew what was coming. They were waiting for the words to say, let the children come up. So whenever I'd say, so while we're greeting each other in the name of the Lord, they were on the edge of their seats. Let the children come up. Boom, they took off, and here they came. It became a cherished time between me and these children. The lead pastor was taking time for them, and I would have some pictures, some up on the screen or something. I'd tell them a story about Fred the fish, or a little duck, or an eagle that got all wet in the lake or something like that, and just make a point. But all of those stories were actually lead-ins to the main message to their parents so that they'd have something to talk about. I put it on a child's level, and then I used that as the opening when I would preach the sermon. And after I finished with the kids, we would also hand them a little bulletin. And on the front cover, actually we had two covers on each side, we had a picture that the children had done from the previous week. We'd pick two of them, put them on the front. So then I'd say, okay, here's the bulletin from last week with Billy's picture on the one side and Jennifer's on the other side. Now, you draw a picture of what you just heard when you go to your children's church, hand them to your teacher, we'll see you in the front cover next time. And boy, they would just reach those, grab them, and then they'd all rush off to their children's church time, which was about halfway through our service. And then that way, the children could worship with their parents for half the time, side by side, but then go have a children's church so their parents could focus on the message that the Lord had put in my heart for them. But it was all interwoven. My friend, that is a touch point that is gold. I hope you pastors catch the vision of doing a little 1 minute, 2 minute children's sermon so that they can bond with you and everybody in church can see, wow, children are important here. The lead pastor takes time with them right in the middle of our worship service. By the way, as the years rolled by, there was one time I decided to spend it. I think it was Easter, or we had some other thing going on. It was going to be time compressed. So we didn't do the children's sermon. Boy, did I hear about it the following day or later in the day. And ultimately, I never left it out again. They were so disappointed. It was a big mistake on my part. Then there'd be times when my wife and I would be in the grocery store or somewhere, and one of the kids of the church would see us, and the littler ones would say, look, Mom, it's the story guy, it's the story guy. And they'd run over, and they'd hug me on my knees and all, and I'd say, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful bonding time, and it communicates volumes of how important they are, what a priority they are. Children are a top priority, like Jesus said and did. All right, so here's the third touch point, children's church. Itself goes after that. I already mentioned that. You know about that. Sunday school discipleship or Sunday school class. Yeah, I hope you have a good Sunday school program for them. A lot of churches are not. They're just doing the children's church, and that's it. And then number five, kids Bible clubs. This is what you do in between time. Many might have Awana, which was huge and still is in many places and all. Global Children's Network, like I mentioned, we're doing now. We have Malachi Kids Club that's going gangbusters in 52 countries around the world, just now coming to the U.S. But Kids Bible Clubs in between Sundays is another opportunity. Number six, another touch point, kids choir or drama or VBS or special events. Now, see, you don't do these every week, obviously, but you just pick and choose. So maybe in the spring you do a kids' choir, and they do something for 6 weeks and then make a presentation. You get all those lost parents and uncles and aunts to come. And maybe in the fall you'll do a little kids' drama or something. Of course, VBS is in the summer, and any other special events you have. So that's an option. Number 7 of these 8 touch points, kids' sports camps or leagues. Some do flag football, some do basketball, some do soccer. Sometimes it's a league or just a recreational outing, whatever it is. But that's a way to draw kids and also draw parents and build relationships. And finally, number 8, this is so important. Highlight this one, parent and teen equipping. Parent and teen equipping. How is that a great touch point? Because you're training parents and you're training teens to disciple children, to work with children on in their Bible clubs or in the choir or in the drama or in the events or in VBS. When we had VBS, we had 100 teens and parents volunteering to help out, and we had 200 kids that would come. But in the prior week, those 100 volunteers who were able would come and decorate the whole church, you know, all the different classrooms and the hallways and the stage and area, and work on music and snack, all that stuff. It was a wonderful 2 weeks. But the teens were involved, training them as the leaders of tomorrow. So these are 8 great touch points to reach God's children, giving them top priority, as we're seeing that the Lord, our family pastor, yearns for us to know that children are a top priority, like Jesus demonstrated. Well, Lord, thank you for that. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, follow in love with Jesus, our family pastor.